thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
My name is Davey. I am husband to Kelsey, who's just taken our daughter out to get food because that's all she does is eat. I am father to our daughter, Peyton, who will be running around and has just entered the room. And then also father to a pending child coming in November. So my wife is just a bit frustrated with everything at the minute, you can understand. And after 22 years, eight of those for myself being on staff, we have finished our chapter in Dundonald Éilim. And my wife and I and a team of us, some who are here tonight, are planting a church in 2 weeks' time, Sunday the 28th of September. And so for myself and even for JT and Holly, there's lots of new seasons for us. And I'm so grateful to have gotten to be involved in a number of those seasons of their lives. And JT and Holly, tonight as you turn the page and begin this chapter, a new chapter of your journey, I want to share a few well-known scriptures that declare over you in this season. And so if you have a Bible, do you want to turn to Joshua chapter 1? And you can keep your finger there. And if you are able to, if you also want to turn to Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to do something that I often do when it comes to reading the Word of God. I'm going to invite you to stand with me, if you will, as we read the Word of God. You can feel free to stand anytime now. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through to verse 9, and we're going to read also Ephesians 6, verse 13 to 15. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 to 9 says this: "And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And then in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13 to 15, the Apostle Paul writes these words: "Therefore put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace." You can take your seats. I wonder, is anyone in the room want to admit they're afraid of spiders? Yep, a couple of arachnophobes around the area. This is spider season. And what I mean by that is the great outdoors become too cold for spiders, and so they begin venturing indoors. But have you actually seen the size of some of the spiders? Some of them should probably be paying rent in our homes, the size of them. They are huge. They're getting bigger each year. And I hate them. And I think I blame my parents for this, because when I was younger, I don't know if anyone would remember the movie, I think it was around the 90s, called Arachnophobia. And it was terrifying. And I never wanted to live in the country where barns were, because I was just afraid of spiders. And anytime I lived at home, I have an older brother and two older sisters. I'm the youngest, so some of you probably think, are you spoilt? And you're right. And anytime I seen a spider, I used to get my mom, my dad, my brother, or someone to get them. That was until I met my wife, Kelsey, and realized that Kelsey also hates spiders. And so when we got married, we had a little bit of a dilemma. If we saw a spider, who was going to get it? And it had to be Kelsey. No, it was me. I had to get it. And I remember encountering our first marital spider and deciding, who's going to get this? And I said, Kelsey, you need to get this. She's like, no, you need to get this. And this back and forth until I realized, yes, I need to be the man in the house, and I need to get this spider. And I had to get it, and I had to be brave. And I couldn't call on anyone, so I had to get this. And I remember when our daughter, Peyton, came along, we didn't want Peyton to be afraid of spiders. And so anytime we saw them, we just had to be like, oh, Peyton, look, a little spider. And she wanted to, it was like, Dad, come and see it. And I'm like, let's not, let's just leave it. Didn't want her to grow in fear, because there was just this moment where I just had to decide, I need to be brave here. I need to be courageous. And here's the point. There was a time and a place for me to call upon people to help me to deal with. I know it's a spider. You're like, grow up. Let me live. There was a time where I had to call upon people to help me. But then there was a time and a season in my life where I had to step up and be courageous. Church, can I suggest for all of us, there is a time for us to step up and be courageous. JT and Holly, can I suggest that there is this time for you to step up in your life and be courageous? Yes, there's a time to depend on others, but maybe there's these moments where we step into being bold, brave, and courageous. Instead of depending on others, instead of hoping that others will do what God's asked us to do, instead of waiting around and being passive, there's a time for us to step up and be courageous. I remember someone, a pastor older and wiser than me, told me that in life, you spend the first 20 years of your life learning. Then you spend the next 20 years of your life making mistakes, but learning. And then the next 20 years, is a time of success and fruitfulness. And with the time I have remaining tonight, I want to suggest a few lessons about courage that we can step into. And for you, JT and Holly, as you step into this season, to make some decisions, to be courageous, to learn some things about yourselves and about the Lord, to learn some lessons about courage and how we handle it and live more courageously. I want to learn some lessons from the life of Joshua. And the first lesson about courage is this: courage uses fear. God famously, in this passage we've read in Joshua chapter 1, famously quotes three times that Joshua is to be strong and courageous. And the obvious assumption for us from God here is that Joshua would be afraid. Why would God tell him to be strong and courageous if he was naturally strong and courageous? But the idea here is that Joshua is someone who is fearful and is worried. And so he gives him this call to be strong and courageous. And in a way, friends, I think it's okay that we acknowledge that we have fear. It's natural for Joshua to be afraid here. Moses was a great leader. There was a lot of people that he had to lead, and he's uncertain about the future. Joshua may have had some fear, and that is understandable. I think fear itself isn't just a bad thing. It's what we do with it. There's lots of things in life that we have canceled or labeled wrong incorrectly. We think of money, temptations, fear. These things in and of themselves aren't bad. It's what we do with them that determines if they can be used for good or bad. For example, money. If money is deeply desired, money is pursued, if money is worshipped, if money becomes something that is an idol to us, then it can be used for bad. But money, if used wisely and generously, can be used for good. Temptations. Jesus Christ himself was tempted. If temptations lead us to sinful action, then it can be a bad thing. But if temptations leads us to turning away from that thing and instead choosing God and running from it, it can be used as worship. And fear. If fear causes us to be crippled by it and not do anything, then it can be a bad thing. But if it teaches us instead to trust God and cultivate courage, then it could be used for a good thing. You see, I think fear at times is necessary for courage. Someone once said that courage isn't the absence of fear, but action in spite of it. You see, courage without fear isn't courage at all. You can't have courage without fear. Courage is only courage when fear is present. And I think fear is a necessary ingredient for courage to grow. Fear is the soil on which courage grows. See, Scripture teaches us that God is a little bit like a gardener. If we read John 15, we understand that he is like a gardener and he prunes. But Scripture also teaches us in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 that God is a gift giver. God likes to grow fruit and he likes to give gifts. And courage is both a gift to steward and a plant to cultivate. God tells here in Joshua 1 that he would be with him. His presence would go with him. That Joshua would never be alone. That is a gift. That is supposed to inspire courage. But also God tells him to be courageous. That's a choice. That is a response. That's an intentional choice and response to fear. That when fear comes, we're called to be strong, to be courageous. But the courage needs that fear to grow, just like a seed needs soil to grow. We will all experience fear. Fear of failure, fear of the future, fear of uncertainty, fear of a lack of provision. Some of you even in here tonight have fear of things that are coming or to come in our lives. JT and Holly, as they step into this new season, will experience fear. Maybe also a fear of failure, fear of getting it wrong. The fear of pressure or the fear of managing expectations in a church. This is normal. This is to be expected. But what we do next is vital. Our response is important. And so the second lesson about courage is this. Courage is the price that we pay for calling. Joshua is called by God here. Called, appointed, and summoned by God to lead the whole children of Israel into the promised land, to see Israel enter their promised land, to see the promise of God fulfilled. That was his calling. But it would come with a price, and that price is courage. JT and Holly, there are a lot of things that will be required of you to do in ministry for the Lord that will require courage, to preach difficult truths from this pulpit, to challenge people, to address issues, to call out sin, to maybe even say no at times. That is the price that you have to pay. That is the sacrifice you've to make. Church, there's lots of things required of us by God that also require courage. Standing firm on biblical truth, forgiving others, generosity, trusting God with our future. We pay for those things with courage. Courage is the currency we pay for the promises of God. There will be times when we are asked to do something as disciples of Jesus that we don't want to do or feel that we can't do, even though that's the price that we owe. We'd rather not be courageous. We'd rather not do it. We'd rather just stand still in fear. But the reality is, courage is a matter of surrender. It leads me to the third thing of lesson about what courage is. Courage is how we express that we trust God's sovereignty. Courage is how we express we trust God's sovereignty. You see, God seems to have a plan. God always has a plan. And this plan we are reading here in Joshua chapter 1 is his plan is to use Moses to deliver the Israelites from captivity in Egypt, to set them apart from others, to lead them into this promised land. And he's going to use Joshua to do that. But again, for Joshua, there would be moments where he is fearful. Moments where he wants to give up. Moments where he wants to stop. Moments where he doesn't know what to do. And this is where courageous becomes an act of surrender. This is where being courageous says, I trust you, God. Because there will be moments in our lives where we don't want to keep going. We don't know where to turn. We don't know what to do. And we want to give up. But courage is saying, God, even though I don't understand it, I trust you and I'm going to keep going. Let me take you back to my daughter, Peyton, and these spiders. As I said, there was times where she would be like, oh, Daddy, come and see a spider. Come and see a spider. And we used to have, as I've grown in courage with the spiders, there's this technique that I show to try and help her catch these. So I get a glass, and I put the glass over the spider. And I get a bit of paper, and I put it under, and I kind of trap the spider between the paper and the glass. And I lift it up. And we started to take him outside and put him in the back garden. And I remember one of the first times we did this, Peyton was real, like she was kind of like fascinated with the spider, but also freaked out by it. And she wanted to go and see it, but also didn't want to go anywhere near it. And I remember she freaked out because she thought the spider was going to bite her. And I remember having to say to her, Peyton, it's fine, trust me. There's me saying, trust me, it's fine, and I'm freaking out at it. But I said, trust me. And it was in this moment that part of her was afraid of it. But part of her also surrendered and said, okay, I trust you, Dad. I trust that this thing isn't going to hurt me. Because she knew that I was in control. You see, when we seek to be courageous in fear, we are saying to God, God, I trust your words over my feelings. When we seek to be courageous in fear, we're saying, God, I trust your sovereignty over my security. When we seek to be courageous in fear, we're saying, God, I trust your plan over my confidence. That is utter surrender. Not having confidence all in us, but having confidence in him. I can testify to this truth. Because when I think of these last few months as our team have began to step out of life into Dáil Éireann and consider planting a church, I've had very little confidence in myself in this. I've never planted a church in my life. I have no idea at times what I'm doing. But I feel like God has asked me to do this. And so my confidence is not in me. My confidence is in him. And at times I've wanted to just say, I just want to pack this in. I do not know what I'm doing here. But God, you've called me to this. And courage is the art of saying, God, even though I'm fearful, I trust you. Even I don't know what's coming around the corner, I trust you. I am surrendering. I'm laying down my life. I'm laying down my plans. I keep pressing on. I'm laying down and I'm looking to you. If you said it, I'm clinging to you. That is surrender. Doing something God asks us to do, even when we're afraid, is one of the most God-honoring acts we can do. Doing something God asks us to do, even when we're afraid, is one of the most God-honoring acts we can do. It is saying, your ways are better. And we are in good company. Moses stepped into so many things that he wasn't sure he could do, but he trusted the Lord. Gideon stepped into so many things that he didn't think he could do, but he trusted the Lord. He didn't feel the right person. And here's the truth. In a way, they weren't the right person. But they were becoming the right person. And I think sometimes the Lord leads us into some things that we might not think they were right then for. But God said, I know, but if you trust me, I will take you through the process and I'll shape and mold you into the man or woman of God that I need you to be. I've noticed in my life, God is really, really resourceful. God will use your environment to produce courage in you. God will use your environment to refine you like his son. JT, continue to surrender to God through courage. Continue to show your devotion by God by doing things even when you know he's asking you, but you feel a bit afraid. You know he's asking you, but you feel a bit unsure about how you're able to do it. Courage is our way of expressing our trust in God's sovereignty. And the fourth lesson I want to share is this. Courage is rooted in the gospel. Courage is rooted in the gospel. Here is the hope for us today. The hope that courage is rooted in the gospel. Courage isn't just wishful thinking. Courage isn't something that we just white knuckle and be like, just push through and just keep doing. The gospel gives our courage deep roots and stability. You see, we read about God commanding Joshua 3 times to be strong and courageous. But then we also read these other verses in Ephesians 6 where the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Ephesus about the armor of God. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with a belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place. And listen to this, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. When Paul is finishing up his letter to the Ephesians, he writes this important section on the armor of God. And he likens the journey of a disciple to a battle, that we need different pieces of armor to battle. He mentions the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. He mentions about the helmet of salvation. But Paul mentions about the feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And if you go back to the time of the Roman soldiers would have had this footwear called a caligae. They were sandals that the Roman soldiers would have wore. But at the bottom of these sandals would have been like little studs or spikes, similar to like kind of a rugby player would wear or like a golfer. These little spikes at the bottom. And the whole idea that it was allowing the Roman soldiers, when they were fighting, to have a firm ground, a firm stance, so that when they were fighting, they wouldn't be pushed back. If they were in a battle and there was bloodshed, they wouldn't slip. Their feet were firm. They weren't going to be moved. The spikes held them firm. And this is what Paul is thinking about when he's describing the armor of God. He was saying the sandals that the soldier wears matters. And you can almost see Paul writing this and thinking in his head as he's penning this part about the armor of God in Ephesians 6. He's almost thinking, what aspect of a faithful life would be vital for standing firm? And Paul says, the gospel. The gospel is what keeps us grounded. The gospel is what keeps us drifting. The gospel is what keeps us standing firm. That's how Paul instructs the Christians in Ephesus to stand firm. Ephesians 6, 13, 14 again. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, comma, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, he again says, stand firm then with the belt of truth, with the breastplate of righteousness. His advice and instruction is to stand firm. Church, that is the instruction for all of us. And it requires courage. Again, I'm not sure if any of you are a big film fan, but if any of you have ever seen The Lord of the Rings, the J.R.R. Tolkien books turned into movies, and a couple of those movies, there's these giant battle sequences where the enemies, the hordes of the enemies are running towards the good guys. And it looks scary because there are these big, ugly-looking monsters running towards them, and there's hundreds and thousands of them. And you can understand this would be a scary thing. How do you stand firm in battle during that? It would be worrying. You'd be freaked out. It takes courage to stand firm. It takes courage not to flee. It takes courage to not just be passive and run away and hide from danger. And Paul is suggesting that that courage to be able to stand firm is linked to the gospel. Our courage to stand firm is rooted in the person and work of Jesus Christ. See, the author of Hebrews says this. He spends chapter 11 telling about the great hall of faith, all these amazing men and women who stood firm. And then the author writes this in Hebrews 12. 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, just like it says up here, looking onto Jesus, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. I love this in verse 3. It says this, consider him. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners. Why? So that you and I will not grow weary and lose heart. Friends, Jesus is not only our model and example of being courageous. He is that. He is the model and example for how you and I are to stand firm and be courageous. Why? Because he did it. He faced death. He stood firm. He endured. He laid down his life. He surrendered. Even though he was fearful, even though his body sweat drops of blood, even though he probably didn't want to, he laid down his life and said, God, I surrender and I go because you have called me to this and I trust you. I trust you over my feelings. He is our model and our example, but he's not just that. I also believe that Jesus is also our victor in living courageously. For because Jesus did the most courageous act, because he endured such opposition, because he overcame death, hell, and the grave, we live in courageous victory. You and I live in courageous victory because of what he has done. You and I today can live boldly. You and I today can live courageously because the reality is we win. We win. We stand firm on the gospel. We can stand firm on the hope of the gospel. We have courage because we know the author. We have courage because we know the ending. And so there is this invitation that, yes, God invites us to step into some things that make us fearful. God steps us and invites us into some things that might scare us. But the reality is, Jesus has won. Jesus has won. It's almost like, I remember a time when I invited my mom to watch a movie that I'd already seen, and I knew the ending, and my mom tortures me when it comes to watch films. It's 3 minutes into the movie, and my mom says, does it end good? Is it a good ending? Just watch the movie, mom, would you? But I know that it's a good ending. I know, and I could see my mom biting her nails and freaking out, and I'm like, it's okay, because I know what happens. Friends, we can live courageously, because we know what happens at the end of the story. We know that Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith, and we win. And so my encouragement to you, my invitation is to you, no matter what you're facing today, the invitation is to be strong and courageous, because we know who wins. The gospel is supposed to be like those sandals that allow us to stand firm. No matter what you read on social media, no matter what you see in the news, no matter what's going on in your week, we can stand strong and be courageous. A, because we consider him who endured such opposition. But B, we thank the Lord that he rose again. He defeated death, hell, and the grave, and now we live from victory. Can I invite you to stand with me? I'm going to invite the worship team to come. I'd love to pray for us. If you want to stand as the worship team joined, you want to close your eyes for a second. I recognize in a room like this, there are many, many people who are going through some stuff right now, right today, that you need to be strong and courageous. And so with every eye closed in the place, I'm not going to ask you to come to the front. I'm not going to ask you to raise up your hand. I'm just, in this moment, I want to pray that God would both give the gift of courage to you tonight, but also that God would remind you to cultivate the fruit of courage. That sometimes we ask God for courage as a gift and he gives that to us. And sometimes we ask God to give us the gift of courage. And do you know what he does? He puts us in a place where we have to trust him. God loves to grow fruit in our lives. He's a great gardener, and he knows that sometimes fear is the soil in which courage grows. And so the invitation for you tonight is, if you are in here and you're fearful or uncertain, anxious, unsure, God, the words that God makes to Joshua, he makes to you, I will be with you. And so if that is you, I want to just pray over you, that you would know the Lord of hosts goes before you. That you would know tonight that he is with you. That you would stand firm because of the gospel. that we would also stand and pray over JT and Holly as they step into this new season. Still in the same place, still in the same church with the same people, but just a different authority, different challenge, different responsibility, and also an enemy that wants to bring a different destruction over their lives. Can we stand and pray over them that they would stand firm? So, Father God, we bring you before every single person and situation in this room. God, you know everyone. You know the thoughts they're having now, the fears they're having, their anxieties when they walked into this room. And we ask, Holy Spirit, would you help us to not sit down and be crippled by fear? But Father God, would you lift our heads back onto you? Would you remind us of those words to be strong and courageous, that you're with us? I pray, Father God, some of us, the greatest response we could do in this moment is just lay down arms and just say, God, I trust you. I trust you. I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know how, but I surrender all. Not my will, but yours be done. Oh God, we pray that you would give us the gift of faith to trust in you. We pray that for some people in here, Holy Spirit, you would help them to let go. I pray, Father God, that you would help them to surrender and to do what the book of Hebrews tells us to do, to consider him. Consider him who endured such opposition. We thank you, Lord, that we have a great high priest who knows exactly what we're going through. Teach us, Lord, to follow in your ways. We pray for JT and Holly, Lord, as they step into this new season. God, I pray fresh courage upon them. Fresh courage, Lord. Holy Spirit, we pray that they both would feel an anointing from God, that they're not just doing this off their own strength, but I pray a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit upon them to be strong and courageous, to step into the man and woman that you are creating them to be. Thank you, God, for their maturity. Thank you for their love for you. Thank you for the love of this house and the people here. We pray, Holy Spirit, a hedge of protection around them. I pray that this church would be, as JT says, a continued family to them, loving them, supporting them, standing with them in prayer, helping them to be courageous. And we thank you, God, that you win. We thank you that you endured the cross, scorning its shame, and now you sit down at the right hand of the Father, and we can step into every season with courage, knowing that we win, knowing that we are on the winning side. You have won it all. And so we step into this rest of this week with fresh courage, trusting you and looking on to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelim.com.